Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call. My name is Carolyn, and I'll be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time you require operator assistance, please press star zero, and an operator will be happy to assist you. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to your host for today, Hugh Margaret, Local Operations Manager at Wimbledon. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, Carolyn, and thanks all for dialing in to the Wessex Safety Hour call this Tuesday lunchtime. Much appreciate your time. As Carolyn said, my name is Hugh Margaret. I am the Local Operations Manager at Wimbledon. And for those of you that don't know what I do, I manage the team at Wimbledon Signaling Centre that operates the signaling points infrastructure for movements in and out of Waterloo. So today, I'll just run through a brief agenda firstly. Firstly, I'm going to talk about the figures for last week on our safety hour attendance and close calls raised. I'll briefly cover the safety incidents that have been reported on the safety hour website, and hopefully you've all had an opportunity to look at that. And then there'll be some of those that I'll cover in more detail with a focus on what's so far come out to underpin those incidents, and pose some questions about how these underpinning features may impact us all day to day. I'll give us all a quick reminder that it is Health and Safety Week in a couple of weeks' time. And then I will open the floor to questions and comments, which would be really great to have some participation on. I always find these sort of conferences a little odd in that you don't get any interaction right to the end, so some comments from the audience would be great. So, without further ado, we'll go through the figures for last week. Last week, we had 71% of the routes dialing into or having a safety hour conversation, which is great. That's above target and is actually 1 percentage point more than the week before, where we had 70%. And close calls raised was at 89%. Again, a really good improvement, guys. That's a lot more than the previous week where we only have 38, but unfortunately, it's still below target. So let's make a real drive to beat that target next week, where we've got to raise 130. I think if we all try to raise one a day, that would be absolutely fantastic, and would mean that we beat that target, as I say. I'll just briefly run through the incidents that we've got, and they've been reported on the Safety Hour website. So hopefully you've all had a chance to have a brief look at those. The first one I'd like to talk about was a possession irregularity in item 505 at Eastleigh Depot Carriage Siding, where 5Mike18 reported to the signaller that he'd ran over a possession detonator which was protecting the T3 close to a ground position light signal exiting from number one road in the depot. That incident is still currently under investigation by the local ops team and with various input from other people across the route. On the 8th of the 3rd, we had a line blockage irregularity between Wimbledon Panel 4 and Dorking Signal Box, in which Wimbledon Panel noticed a track circuit within their area of control flick on the up Portsmouth line. Upon speaking with the signaller at Dorking, it was established that this was caused by local S&T, who had a line blockage taken from Dorking Signal Box to a signal at Leatherhead Junction. Dorking Signal Box, while taking that line blockage, had not advised the signaller at Wimbledon Panel 4, which is established practice and required within the rules and regulations, and was reported as an irregularity. That incident is subject to a further investigation by Sussex Route with input from myself and colleagues within the operations team on Wessex. On the 9th of the 3rd, we had a level crossing operating irregularity following item 115, which was a T3 possession between New Malden and Strawberry Hill Junction. The Feltham shift manager reported that an irregularity had occurred in which Tampa 6 Juliet 61, which had been working in the possession I just mentioned, had been authorised out of the possession without the route being correctly set. In essence, the Tampa traversed over Strawberry Hill CCTV level crossing with the barriers in the air, which obviously is a big safety incident and could have resulted in somebody being hurt. That is still subject to further investigation, with some immediate lessons learned published with an operational alert on the Wessex Safety Hour website. On the 10th and 3rd, we had a staff accident at Hazelmere. A member of Haven Peaway was undertaking a two-person lift with a saddle leather stretching kit. The other person, who had been assisting the injured party, tripped and lost his balance on other tools on site. The injured party consequently lost his balance himself and was carrying the load completely on his own, and felt a sharp pain in the lower right-hand side of his back. The golden hour was applied by a responsible manager and no lost time was anticipated. Another possession irregularity on the 10th of 3rd, 2017 at Hook. The ODM reported that an irregularity had occurred within item 68, where a camper, 6 Juliet 29, had been authorised out of a worksite to go to Bravo Echo 399 signal, at which point the possession was going to be given up around the train. The camper driver, however, continued to Bravo Echo 407 signal, having become confused about the previous night's arrangement. It appears that a clear understanding was not reached between the PICOP, or the engineering supervisor, and the camper operator. The investigation is being carried out by Balfour Beatty, and hopefully we will have some more information on that soon. We had a Cafe Spad at Vauxhall on Friday morning, 10th and 3rd, 2017, which the driver to Hotel 10 reported that he had passed Whiskey 50 signal on the up main slow line after losing concentration. The train passed the signal by approximately 3.5 coach lengths. The train was authorised to continue to Waterloo to remove any risk for trains becoming trapped in rear of that train where the driver was relieved. That incident, like all SPADs, is subject to further investigation, with a 72-hour review on the incident being undertaken today by Steve Corey and his team. And finally, on the 12th of 3rd, we had a staff accident. Unfortunately, we aren't aware of the location, which a member of Woking S&T was taking part in a three-man lift with an AWS electromagnet. The team were crossing from the down to the up line, but due to uneven ballast and the third rail, the team had aborted the lift and tried again in a more suitable location. Post the lift, one of the team had felt that he had strained his lower back muscle. Again, the golden hour was applied and no lost time was anticipated, and the accident is subject to further investigation. We've got some material on the Safety Hour website, an ops alert for a T3 irregularity that happened at Poole, actually the previous week. The Strawberry Hill CCTV level crossing incident that I've just mentioned. And those two incidents are two incidents that I want to talk about in a bit more depth today, as well as the Cafe Spad that we had at Vauxhall. Firstly, I'll talk about the T3 irregularity that we had at Poole. This was a T3 irregularity within item 508 and occurred on Friday the 3rd of March, involving the signal on the Basingstoke Dorset Coast Panel. Following agreeing the possession details with the person in charge of possession and adhering well to safety critical communication protocols, the signal proceeded to give authority to the PICOP for his staff to proceed to place detonator protection. Just for everybody's knowledge, basic level of T3 is taken in a number of steps. Firstly, an agreement is made between the person in charge of the possession and the signaler regarding what limits are required. And when this has been agreed, the signaler gives signal protection and grants permission to the person in charge of the possession to place their possession protection. The signaler, once this is done, the team will go out to place their possession protection, which consists of three detonators and a possession limit board. And the idea is that this possession protection, alongside the fact that signals have been placed to danger, will protect the line being taken under possession from train movements. On granting permission to the person in charge of possession to place the possession protection, a train that was in the sidings at Poole and was encompassed within the T3 limits, the possession limits, was signalled out of the sidings towards the location where the staff were placing protection on the track. While the incident is subject to investigation, the reason that this appears to have happened, or one of the underpinning causes at least, is that the signaller involved had overlooked that a signal within the sidings at Poole, and which the train involved was stood at, was showing a proceed aspect when the signal granted permission for the team to go out on track. And consequently, the train took the signal and was routed into the procession, approaching the guys that were on the track. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. The train came to a stand or stopped on the signal, which is good, but obviously a real safety incident was there. The second incident I want to talk about in a bit more detail is the level crossing incident that we had at Strawberry Hill, which I mentioned previously, on Thursday, the 9th of March. So at the end of item 115, the procession between New Malden and Strawberry Hill Junction, 6 Juliet 61, which was a tamper working in possession, approached the detonator protection to leave the procession. Again, for everyone's benefit, where there's been a train or a track, an on-track machine working within the possession of the line, there are two standard ways for which the train may leave. Either the train or the machine operator can ascertain the train to an agreed point within the possession, where the possession will be given up around the train, or the train can leave the possession from the possession protection point prior to the possession being given up. On this occasion, the train left the possession by the latter format, and unfortunately, in this occasion, the possession protection was beyond the protecting signal for the level crossing, Strawberry Hill level crossing, and it meant that the signaller had to set the route for this train to continue on its journey manually. This means setting points manually and lowering level crossing barriers manually without the route being proved or being able to be set within the interlocking. The route was checked by the shift signaller manager on duty, and unfortunately while this was done it was overlooked that the barriers for Strawberry Hill CCTV level crossing had remained in the air. On the tamper being authorised to leave the possession from the detonator protection by the signaller and being assured that the route had been set safely for the train movement, the tamper perceived the Strawberry Hill CCTV level crossing barriers with them in the air. Thankfully, again, nobody was hurt, and the driver reported the incident to the signaller. And this incident remains subject to further investigation. Thirdly, the stab that we had, again, mentioned this previously, but just a bit more detail on this one. On Friday the 10th of March at approximately 6:58 in the morning, the driver of 2 Hotel 10, which is the 6 o'clock train from Shepton to Waterloo, reported that he passed Whiskey 50 signal on the up main slow line approaching Vauxhall Station. At the time, the driver reported to the signaller that he had lost concentration on the approach to Whiskey 50 signal, and as a result had obviously passed this at danger. A subsequent interview with the driver, conducted by the driver manager, revealed that the driver had been suffering from extensive fatigue, and on the approach to the signal may have had a microsleep for approximately 7 seconds, during which time he passed Whiskey 5 signal at danger. The signal was at danger because the section ahead of that signal was occupied by another train performing station duties at Vauxhall. All obviously quite different incidents there, so you might ask why I'm drawing on these incidents. Well, these are operational incidents which fall within my realm of responsibility as a local operations manager. But mainly, as I hope you've been able to see from how I've gone through them, these are real safety of the line incidents with the potential for real negative safety consequences. And actually, with the exception of incident 3, where technological intervention brought studying train to a stand, we seem to have gone away with them purely down to luck. It is important to state that all of these incidents remain subject to further investigation. However, one thing that appears to underpin them all together is a lapse in attention management by those people involved. This is something we talk a lot about within signalling. Attention management forms one of our 8 non-technical skills which we expect our operators to have and train them accordingly to possess these skills. It's really important because our ability to be attentive to what is going around us, particularly in an industry like the one that we all work in, is really important when it comes to keeping ourselves and those around us safe. And while this is really pertinent to signalling operations, I want everyone on the call to think about their attention, what they do day to day, and how they may compromise their attention, and how that has the ability to have negative safety consequences for both them and those around them. And that's whether you work in a, you know, an operational environment, such as a signal box or out on the track, or whether you work in an office. I was thinking of this quite a lot, and actually I've told my team to close call me for this, because I'm particularly bad at, while I'll be walking along, texting on my phone. And while I'm doing this sort of thing, you know, while it might seem really obscure and I might not immediately see the safety negatives of that, my attention is ultimately compromised, and I could be completely unaware to something in my path I might walk into, trip over, and subsequently hurt myself. Another one would be to think about our fatigue. You know, even when you're, you know, while you might be working in an office, how does the fatigue that you might have in the morning when you're, you know, you've had a bad night's sleep or something, affect your safety? The incident involving a SPAD that I previously mentioned is a prime example of how this plays out operationally, but ask yourself, how does this apply to us? I mean, a really basic example would be when you're driving to work, do you always consider your things to drive before you get into your car, for example? And how does this fitness to work affect your attention, and what are the potential compromises or the potential consequences of this compromised attention? So that's my little piece, sort of little passage that I wanted to go through and talk about attention in a bit more detail, and how that seems to have had some, you know, some fairly negative instances of revolt, you know, seem to have been underpinned by that over the past week. Before I move to a section about where I'd like to get some questions or comments on what I've just gone through, I'd just like to remind everybody that from April the 2nd to April the 8th, it is Health and Safety Week. This is a really good opportunity to undertake things within your teams, with your colleagues, to promote safety and talk about safety, you know, whether that is additional visits or tours, more safety conversations. I'd encourage everybody to have this on their radar and get thinking and be, you know, really creative, have some fun about what you can do around promoting safety. And with that, I would like to open the floor to any questions or comments from the audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your phone, then state your name followed by the pound key. Once again, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your phone, then state your name followed by the hash key, and please be sure to unmute yourself before recording your name. Questions will be taken in the order received, and we'll pause momentarily to compile the list. Thank you. And, sir, there are no questions in queue at this time.
There are no questions. Okay. So if anybody wants to drop me an email with a question, I'd be more than happy to answer some general comments on the call today. That would be really great. What I'll do now is draw the call to a close. So thank you all for taking the time to dial into the Safety Hour call today. Much appreciated. Enjoy the rest of your week, and most importantly, be safe.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a great day.